Okay, so get this. We're diving into a Supreme Court case, but it's not some highfalutin legal
All
concept. We're
right.
talking
Oh,
avocados.
wow.
Yep, avocados and the Supreme Court. And this isn't just about, what you put on your toast. It's a landmark case,
Yeah.
one that's had a huge impact on the legal landscape even today.
Absolutely.
We're going to unpack how this seemingly simple fruit, right? This avocado
Yeah.
sparked a major battle, like a real showdown over states' rights, federal power, consumer protection, and even,
It's fascinating.
look, what does it even mean for an avocado to be ripe?
Yeah, it really gets to the heart of those tensions we always talk about, those inherent tensions of our federal system. Especially, I think, through this lens of the Commerce Clause, it's a really practical way to kind of grasp how these constitutional principles actually play out in the real world.
So let's rewind the clock, okay? We're going back to 1963, a case called Florida Lime and Avocado Growers, Inc. v. Paul. Paint the picture for us. What was this avocado showdown all about?
So imagine you're a Florida avocado grower, right? You're meeting all the federal standards for ripeness, all good to go, and you're ready to ship your avocados off to California. And then, bam, roadblock. You can't.
Wait, California just said no thanks to Florida avocados. What was going on?
Well, California had the state law, and it said any avocado sold in California had to have at least 8% oil content. They considered this their a measure of ripeness, which was different from the federal guidelines, which, like you said, focus more on size and texture.
Oh, so two different sets of rules,
Exactly.
federal and then this stricter California standard.
Yeah. And this created a California-only market,
But just
essentially.
shutting out the Florida growers,
Yeah.
I can see how that would lead to conflict. Did the Florida growers just accept this?
Of course not. I mean, they
No.
argued California's law totally overstepped,
Yeah.
violated the supremacy clause of the Constitution.
Right, because if there's a federal regulation, shouldn't that be the top dog?
That was their argument,
So
exactly.
what happened? How did the Supreme Court rule on this whole preemption question?
Well, it's interesting. They didn't completely side with either party on the supremacy clause, at least not right away. They said preemption only happens when it's literally impossible to meet both the federal and state standards. And in this case, they decided that, well, growers could potentially meet both federal requirements for size and texture and still hit that 8% oil content California wanted.
So no need for avocado growers to suddenly figure out how to magically increase the oil content,
Right.
but also not a clear victory for those Florida growers.
Exactly.
It sounds like the court was basically saying, California, you can set extra standards even if they're different.
Yeah, and that's where this idea of the dormant Commerce Clause powers comes in. Even though Congress didn't specifically say states couldn't make their own avocado rules, the court still had to decide if California's law was really meant to protect consumers
Interesting.
or if it was just discriminating against all those out-of-state growers, you know?
Right. And I think, wasn't there a dissent in this case? Didn't Justice White have something to say?
He did. Justice White actually argued that when Congress made that national standard for avocado ripeness, it was implying a unified avocado market, right? Like everyone's playing by the same rules.
Interesting.
And he saw California's law as, well, basically economic protectionism just dressed up as consumer protection. He called it like an avocado embargo meant to help California's growers and hurt Florida's.
So was California really trying to pull a fast one,
Yeah.
using consumer protection to give their own avocado industry a boost?
It's a good question. And what about that equal protection argument? Did the Florida growers have any luck there?
Right, good point.
Not really. The court dismissed that one pretty quickly. Because California's law applied to all avocados sold in the state, it didn't matter where they came from.
I see. So everyone's playing on the same field, at least theoretically.
Right.
But I bet those Florida growers were still feeling pretty shut out. They must have been banking on that Commerce Clause argument, right? Did the court finally say, hey, California, you're putting an unfair burden on all this interstate avocado business?
Well, that's where things get a little unexpected. Instead of directly ruling on the Commerce Clause issue, the Supreme Court sent the case back down
Down.
to a lower court for more examination. They wanted more evidence to figure out if California's 8% rule was truly burdening interstate commerce.
So they kind of punted on the biggest question.
It might seem that way, but this actually led to a fascinating sequel to our avocado story.
A sequel.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to wait and find out what happens in part two of this deep dive.
Exactly. All right. So that remand, the one we were just talking about, that led to like a sequel case, a follow-up.
Okay.
In 1980, J.R. Brooks and Son, Inc. v. Reagan.
Avocado drama. The sequel. I like it.
Yeah, and this time, the lower court really got into the nitty-gritty. They looked at the actual effects of California's avocado law.
So what'd they find? Did they uncover some kind of avocado conspiracy?
Well, their findings kind of backed up what Justice White had been saying, you know, his skepticism.
No, interesting.
They found that California's 8% oil content rule, it wasn't really about protecting consumers.
Okay.
Or even making sure the avocados were ripe.
Then what was it about?
It just happened to perfectly match, like, it lined up with the qualities of California avocados.
Mm.
But it excluded a whole bunch of Florida's avocados.
So it does sound like Justice White was right to be suspicious, like, maybe California was trying to protect their own growers.
Yeah, the evidence definitely pointed that way. Like, California's oil standard, it wasn't really about avocado quality. It was more about giving their growers an advantage.
Hmm. So was California's law actually doing what it was supposed to do? You know, serving a local purpose?
Yeah, or was it like hiding behind consumer protection to be protectionist?
Right, right.
It's a tricky question.
It really is. And it's kind of wild how something as simple as an avocado can lead to all these complicated legal questions.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see why this case is still so relevant today, you know, for lawyers and law students.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a textbook example of the back and forth between state and federal authority.
Hmm.
Florida Lime and Avocado Growers, Inc. v. Paul.
Hmm.
It gives us like real insights into some key legal areas.
So break it down for us. What are the big takeaways here?
Okay, so first it highlights this concept of federal preemption.
Right.
It shows us how courts look at potential conflicts between state and federal laws.
Right.
And it really reinforces this idea that preemption is a narrow thing. Like, courts don't want to just invalidate state laws.
Gotcha.
Unless there's a super clear conflict with federal law.
So states can do their own thing. They have regulatory power.
Preemption.
As long as they're not directly clashing with those federal laws.
Exactly. But there's a catch.
Oh.
And this leads us to our second takeaway, the Commerce Clause.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big one.
This case, it's a perfect example of how a state law, even if it doesn't technically violate that supremacy clause,
mm-hmm.
it can still get challenged under the Commerce Clause
if
it's found to be putting too much of a burden on interstate commerce.
I see. That's a crucial point, especially nowadays, right? With everything so interconnected.
Yeah. And this avocado case, it provides a framework, you know, to understand how those tensions actually play out.
Yeah.
Right. We have to look closely at those state laws and figure out, are they really serving local interests?
Yeah.
Or are they just sneaky ways to mess with interstate competition?
It's like a balancing act.
Exactly. State autonomy versus national economic unity.
And that's at the heart of so many legal battles today, isn't it?
All the time.
This reminds me of all those debates we see, like those state level environmental regulations are the ones that are even stricter than the federal ones.
Right.
Or even like different labeling requirements for products.
Yeah, those all touch on these same issues, right? Federalism, the Commerce Clause, it's all connected.
Exactly.
You're totally right.
Like, take California's emissions standards, right? For cars, they're tougher than the federal ones.
Yeah.
Are they just trying to protect the environment, which is a good thing?
Uh-huh. Or are they messing with the national car market, potentially violating the Commerce Clause?
Right. Or think about a state that bans a certain pesticide, even if it's okay at the federal level.
Interesting.
Are they putting their residents' health first?
Which is important.
Or are they creating problems for interstate trade, you know, with agricultural products?
It's a tough call sometimes.
Yeah.
But the avocado case, it gives us this lens, a way to look at these questions.
So analyze them.
Yeah, and to understand how courts try to find that balance, that sweet spot.
Wow, it's amazing how something as ordinary as an avocado can reveal these fundamental legal principles.
It is, isn't it?
And I bet there are even wider applications, you know, beyond specific products or industries.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this goes way beyond just avocados, right?
Right. The principles from Florida Lime and Avocado Growers, Inc. v. Paul, they've had a ripple effect, you know,
on
tons of areas of law. Like, they've shaped how we think about healthcare regulations, gun control, even internet commerce.
So it's not just a quirky case about avocados.
Nope.
It's about these big ideas, the balance of power between states and the feds, the limits of regulation, and how we interpret the Commerce Clause, which seems to be constantly evolving.
You got it.
This has been really eye-opening.
Glad to hear it.
Before we move on, are there any other key points, like things that lawyers or law students should really take away from this case.
Yeah, there are a couple more things I want to highlight.
Okay, great.
First, this case shows us just how fact-driven these Commerce Clause challenges can be. It's not enough to just say, oh, the state law is protectionist.
Right.
You need hard evidence,
proof
of the actual economic impact on interstate commerce.
Got it.
And that often means you got to bring in detailed economic data, maybe even expert testimony.
So it's not just about pointing fingers. You have to actually do the legwork, the research.
Yeah, you got to have the receipts.
Right, exactly. Receipts, data, all that.
Another big lesson from Florida Lime and Avocado Growers, Inc. v. Paul.
Okay.
It's about legislative intent.
Okay.
The court, they looked really closely at whether Congress, when they made those federal avocado standards, if they meant to preempt, override any state regulations that were different.
I see.
So this just shows how important it is for lawyers to not only look at the actual words of the law, but also the history behind it, like the debates in Congress and all that.
Right. Like, what were they thinking when they wrote this thing?
Exactly. Exactly.
It reminds us that laws, they're not just these static things, you know, frozen in time. They exist in a context, a historical and political context.
Absolutely.
Fascinating.
And one last thing. This case, it highlights the role of courts in our system, you know, the whole federal system.
Okay.
It shows how they have to interpret the Constitution, balance different interests, and ultimately make sure there's a balance of power between the states and the federal government.
Wow. So it's really impressive how this avocado case, it touches on all these fundamental principles of American law and government.
It's pretty remarkable.
It really is. So next time we're at the grocery store, picking out our avocados, you know, hoping for that perfect ripeness.
Yeah.
We can think about those legal battles, the ones that got those avocados to our table.
It's a good reminder
that
even the most ordinary things can have these amazing legal backstories.
Exactly. And who knows what other legal sagas are hiding out there.
Right.
In the products we see every day.
Exactly. That's the cool thing about the law, you know.
What is it?
It's everywhere, woven into our lives. Yeah.
And often in ways we don't even realize.
Absolutely. Well, this has been another fantastic deep dive.
Glad you enjoyed it.
I always learn so much from these conversations.
Me too.
Until next time.
See ya.